outposts, whatever. You know, it's, ignore my pet peeve if you want, but what can I say? It's just a thing for me. All right, so we're going to be spending time in the Psalms, at least seven sermons. We'll have a couple of interruptions because we're going to have some guest preachers, all right, which will be great. All right, I want to make a suggestion, which is to get this book by my good friend Roland Monge. He's a friend from Manila, Into the Psalms. In fact, I'm willing to go out and buy some copies. I think it's $14. I can get it for like maybe $11. And it's just a great guide to the Psalms. To the Psalms, right? Not to the Psalm. To the Psalms. Okay, got it? So, in fact, how many would maybe like me to buy him a copy? $12. Okay. I'll pick up about six or seven copies and we'll go from there. And it's got great information. We did a class on the Psalms a couple years ago for the School of Ministry in L.A., and we had our textbook that the professor wanted to use, but Roland's was much better than that textbook, I thought, anyway. All right, so there are 150 Psalms, by the way, in the Jewish Bible. The Hebrew Bible, there's 151, all right, for what it's worth. All right, 73 of them are, it says, of David. But there's actually two psalms that are not attributed, which a New Testament writer says is of David. All right, so 75, I guess. All right, 12 of them are by Asaph. And Asaph was basically the chief musician in David's court. And possibly the ones that are quotes of Asaph might be of the kind of the school of Asaph. Could be successors to Asaph. And 11 of them are by the sons of Korah. We know who Asaph was. We're not sure who Korah was. It's not the Korah of Korah's rebellion. I'm pretty sure it's not that Korah. That's not a good Korah. Actually, the psalm we're going to study today is written by one of the sons of Korah. Two of them were written by Solomon, one by this guy Ethan, the Ezrahite, and one by Haman, and then 50, exactly one-third of them, we don't know who they're by. Okay, by the way, when I start a new series, I just give some information, a little teaching thing, say a few things about Psalms. Okay? Now, the Psalms are their own genre, if you will, of biblical literature, but it's not all. For example, there's the Psalm of Moses, which is in the book of Deuteronomy. There's the Psalm of Deborah, which is in Judges. So not all the Psalms are in Psalms, but it's a genre. These are inspired scriptures, which are human beings speaking to God. Okay? And you have to understand that. All right? The Psalms tend to be people expressing their feelings. There are things that are said in the Psalms that actually aren't even necessarily true. But it's a psalm. For example, in the 51st psalm, David says, "Against you, you only have I sinned." Now, that is not an invitation to assume the doctrine that we can only sin against God. We can't sin against one another. In fact, in the Old Testament, there was an entire sacrifice called the guilt offering, which was to forgive sins we committed against another person. So when David says, "Against you only have I sinned," he's just saying, "Man, I'm a sinner." Just understand. Then he says, "I was a sinner at birth." You could take that to support the doctrine of original sin. All right, David was not a sinner at birth. He was innocent. But he's just saying, he's just, you know, gushing his emotion. And so we should see it that way. But it's inspired. So we learn from the Psalms how to pray to God. We learn from the Psalms how to have a relationship with God. That's really important. And there are exceptions, by the way. I'm going to look at the different categories of Psalms. And you have to take each one for itself. But in general, we don't look to the Psalms to discover doctrine. And not even necessarily a completely accurate theology. Not necessarily, Possibly. The Psalms are part of the wisdom literature. And generally in the wisdom literature, this is humans speaking. In Isaiah, it's God speaking. You know, and in, say, Romans, it's God speaking directly through Paul. But the Psalms we see are very human. All right, so the principal, but not only purpose of Psalms, not the only one, is to help us in our relationship with God. So we're going to be working on our relationship with God for the next few weeks, which is probably a really good thing. Okay. David is known in 1 Samuel 13, 4, as a man after God's own heart. Well, that's interesting, because David, man, he is not a great example in a lot of ways. But you know what? David just, he just flat out loved God and he loved his scriptures. And when he messed up, he really, really repented. So that's kind of good. You know, if you listen to Jewish scholars talking about David, they spend more time talking about his flaws than they talking about the good things that he did. All right, and so, but that's encouraging to me not to act like that, not to do what he did with Bathsheba, that's for sure. But it's encouraging to me that God loves me, despite the fact that I've made some pretty bad mistakes at times. David was deeply flawed. Remember, not all the Psalms are of David, of course. At least 75, probably others. But it's amazing to me how such an imperfect man is the one who's after God's own heart. Not Joseph, who it's hard to find sins he even committed, you know. Not like Elijah. Not like Daniel. It's David. That's the model for having a heart for God. That's interesting to me, but it's also encouraging. In the Psalms, we see the heart of God, and we also see a person with a great heart for God. I believe we see God's heart in other places, you know, but certainly in the book of Psalms. Psalms give us permission to feel things, to feel emotions that we as Christians might even think are bad emotions. Got that? In the Psalms, we're going to be given, I guess, a kind of a permission to feel emotions that you might have thought for a long time were bad emotions. I mean, look at those imprecatory Psalms, whatever that is. I'll explain that in a minute. Okay? The Psalms were poetry, and they were songs, and they are songs. So they're meant to be sung. So we're going to be learning a couple more Psalm songs. Next week we're going to do Shout for Joy, and then I'm sure we'll do some others. And there are many of them out there. Okay? And so they were meant to be sung. And like I said, we're going to be learning a couple of Psalm songs in the next few weeks. Now, I'm not going to get into the details. That's why you please consider getting Roland's book, because he'll talk about the kind of poetry. It's not at all like our poetry. We have iambic pentameter or whatever, if you know what that is, but whatever, you know, or rhyming at the end. They don't do rhyming. And it's a very different kind of poetry, which is just as well, since we're reading it in translation. Some of the things that we do in English poetry probably wouldn't come through very well if it's coming from Hebrew poetry, so that's okay. Now, there are different kinds of psalms, and they fairly neatly fit into a few categories. There's, you know, maybe stretch your definition a little bit. There are psalms of lament, and that's the biggest quantity. I've got a piece of coconut. Those are awesome muffins. I got a piece of coconut in my... All right, let's keep going here. All right, psalms of lament. The greatest number of psalms are psalms of lament. And these are psalms which lament also can be said as complaint. These are psalms of complaint. And again, you might get the sense that complaining to God is sinful. Well, if it is, then David is not a man after God's own heart, all right? So we're going to be given some permission to feel some negative stuff, and it doesn't mean we're bad people or even bad Christians. Psalms of lament are calls to God for help in time of struggle, in times where we're feeling fear, we're feeling distance from God, we're feeling a sense of loss. And the Psalms of lament are especially useful in, you know, quiet times and just in your own personal relationship with God. Another kind of psalm is, I don't know why they call it this, I have no idea, but that's what they call it. It's the only name I've ever heard. It's an imprecatory psalm. Oh, by the way, let me see. Here we go. For your usefulness here, where are they? Here we go. For your study, we want to pass those out. Awesome, handsome assistant. Thank you. So you don't have to memorize this stuff. Okay, imprecatory psalms. These are psalms of vengeance. There are several of these psalms where they're mainly David. They're mainly from David. And these are psalms where basically you're saying, God, take those people out. God, they did me wrong. You please do them wrong. I don't know how to pray the imprecatory psalms. I don't think I feel that emotion. Maybe I do. Maybe I'm out of touch. But basically these are psalms, and it's not a huge number, but there are several of them. These are psalms in which God calls, the psalmist is calling upon God to judge his enemies. All right? A little bit surprising. And again, these psalms, I think, in certain cases, could be useful in our own personal thing. By the way, you see those are psalms we'll actually be preaching through. I'm purposely not going to do a sermon on an imprecatory psalm. Maybe I should, but I'm not going to. At least I'm not planning on it. Maybe I'll change my mind, but I have a hard time getting into the spirit of God, take them out. All right? But anyway, I think you're getting at least some level of permission on some level to maybe have some of those feelings, and then please dump them on God and just leave it. Dump it on God, because like it says in Romans 12, I will repay, vengeance is mine, do not take vengeance. Okay? Alright, another category of psalms are psalms of praise. In fact, Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. That's a praise of psalm. A psalm of praise, rather. And the last several psalms were sung during the Feast of Tabernacles, when they did the water ceremony. And these are all psalms of praise. They're fairly short. Generally, they're shorter psalms. All right, we're going to do Psalm 19, but also, I think, 147, 148. Okay, and another category of psalms, not a large category, but a significant number, is psalms of confession, where the psalmist is saying, phew, man, did I mess up? And God, please forgive me. Those are great psalms, I think, for our own personal devotional time. Oh, by the way, psalms of praise are especially useful, I believe, for worship, for singing. It's my opinion. All right, so we're going to go over Psalm 51, a famous confession psalm, but we'll also spend some time in Psalm 32 and probably some others. Another category that I wasn't planning on doing, but maybe I'll change my mind, because this is a great category of psalm, is the historical psalms. Now, this is different. This is, although they may be poetry, they're not like the other psalms. They're not necessarily devotional psalms. They're more like psalms that are talking about God, his awesomeness. They're more like theology. So we can study a historical psalm such as 78 or Psalm 105 and 106. And I believe 105 and 106 may be different in the Jewish psalmster, but whatever. All right, so here we learn about God. And then there are wisdom psalms, which are kind of like proverbs. In fact, Psalm 1 is advice. You know, don't sit in the seat of scoffers and that kind of thing. So we have wisdom psalms that would remind you a little bit maybe of proverbs. All right, and Psalm 119 I would put in that category. We're going to do a sermon from Psalm 119. And then the last category is royal psalms. These are psalms which are hymns to the Messiah. All right, and David is a prefigure of the Messiah. So these psalms will be kind of about David and kind of about the Messiah. All right, and so the most famous one of these probably is Psalm 110. You are a priest forever of the order of Melchizedek. Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? And these psalms, there are several of them. I just list three there. These all have messianic prophecies as part of the psalm. Got it? All right, but today we're going to look at a psalm of lament. In fact, I think I'm going to do two different psalms of lament as sermons, okay? My favorite psalm of lament actually is not Psalm 42. To me, Psalm 43, it fits the pattern of Psalms of Lament more precisely. So Psalms of Lament generally go like this. In Psalm 42, it's sort of garbled. It's not quite exactly as precise as this. But most Psalms of Lament start with a complaint. Like, God, it's not working out for me too well right now. God, I'm having a really bad day. God, my car broke down. Somebody broke off the mirror from my car.
Ouch.
All right? That's an actual story. Or how about my grandfather died on Friday? Yeah, Noe, who lost his grandfather on Friday. All right? And then a petition. God, help me out. And then a statement of faith. But God, you know what? Despite everything, I got to trust in you. And then a promise to praise God and to thank God. So that's the pattern. So although the Psalms of Lament have emotion in them of loss, of sorrow, of sadness, maybe even a tinge of anger possibly, the Psalms of Lament always end in a positive note, which is kind of nice. I prefer to end on a positive note. If the Bible ends in a negative note, then I believe it's my job as a preacher to end with a negative note, okay? I want to be faithful to that. So let's look at Psalm 42. It's a fairly short psalm. All right. Only 11 verses. I'll just read verse 1 and 2 for now. And if you go back to the pattern, you're going to see Psalm 142, unlike Psalm 73 and 74, which follow this pattern quite exactly. Psalm 42 doesn't follow this pattern exactly. It has all those things, just not in the right order. Okay? As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Now, what the sons of Korah, or one of the sons of Korah, and he's written here a maskil. What's a maskil? I don't know. It's a kind of song. There are a number of different kinds of psalms. There are a lot of the psalms have a little thingy in the beginning. It'll say it's a this or a that, and it tells you what kind of song it is. Doesn't do you a whole lot of good, so because even the scholars aren't sure exactly what a maskil is. All right, but it's not a genocidal event. It's a kind of song, okay? So we have dirges and we have ballads and we have, you know, different kinds of songs. So one of the kind of songs, I guess, is a maskil. What kind is it? Just the kind that we have right here, you know, Psalm 42. That's the kind it is. It's of the sons of Korah. These were musicians, probably from the school of Asaph. Anyway, as a deer pants for streams of water. Now, how many of you have been in Israel? That's what I thought. All right, now, if you go to Israel, wet or dry? Dry. You know, and so your typical deer in Colorado, your deer in Wisconsin, your deer in Kentucky, there's water everywhere. So you gotta, in fact, this is the wrong, I should have changed out my picture. Should have had exactly the same thing except really dry and barren rocks behind the deer, you know? That picture doesn't do justice to the psalm. So the psalmist is feeling about God kind of like a panting deer. Now understand, what he's doing with verse 1 and 2 is sort of like he's getting into the psalm. He's putting the end of the psalm at the beginning. All right? He's talking about the state of mind he had after his lament. So he gets to the end of the psalm, and in verse 1 and 2, he's saying how he felt after doing this prayer. So this prayer, the first two verses are anticipating how he feels after he makes his lament. Okay? So that's, you know, it's like a teenage boy who's hungry. Yeah. Or it's like somebody who has to go to the bathroom really badly. You know when you have to go to the bathroom, like, really, really badly? What can you think about? Bathroom. 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 And the son, of course, thinking, prayer. 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 I just need to pray. I just need to pray. You ever felt that way? Oh, then you're more spiritual than I have. I don't know if I've ever felt that way. I'm glad some of you have felt that way. I never have. I'm just being real with you. I mean, there's been times I kind of came close to feeling that way, but not really. It's like my friend Sasha. I spent time with him when I was in Moscow, and he was a former heavyweight wrestling champion, like Olympic kind of heavyweight wrestling champion. And this guy was like, I remember we're at a mall, and he's going like, I'm like, what are you doing, Sasha? I'm counting. Why are you counting? Because I'm hungry. Because when Sasha gets hungry, he can only think about food. He eats a lot of, Sasha eats, is big, he eats a lot of food. I felt so safe in Moscow hanging out with Sasha, you know. But he'd be in a mall and because he had to keep counting. Because the only way he could stay focused, because he's hungry. That's kind of like how the psalmist is feeling about his relationship with God. He says, my soul, I pant for you, God. My soul, it thirsts for you, God. For the living God. Not for some sort of dead, distant, unknowable God. No, no, no. For a living God. For a real God who is waiting. It's like that deer is anticipating that stream of water. But the stream of water is always there. That stream of water is just around the corner at every moment. The living God. Do you thirst for God? I try to. You know, I wish I could fully relate to this son of Korah. I try. Honestly, I mean, I can preach Ezekiel, no problem. I can preach Hebrews, easy. Daniel, no problem. I gotta preach the Psalms. Which is so not me, you know. But, you know, we gotta preach the whole Bible. Maybe we should have some guest preachers come in to do the Psalms, but, you know. But, you know, you get the sense that the son of Korah, God is just sitting there. The prayer is like this stream of water just waiting. But it's right around the corner, like a deer panting for water. Like Sasha counting because he just wants food and he wants it now. So the psalmist, while he's driving around Merced, is not looking for the best restaurant. He's not asking, When are they going to put a Cane's in this town? They should have a Cane's.
Wow.
And why don't they have a Chick-fil-A here?
They will.
Yeah, but the whole point is that's not important. The whole point is that's not important. See, you're proving that you need to be more like the Son of Korah, like I should be. yeah, okay. All right. Because we actually had that discussion just recently. You know, did you hear about the new restaurant? Or he's looking for a place to have a great quiet time.
Amen.
He's thinking, oh man, look at that place. I don't know. I could have a chicken sandwich and then pray. Nice. He sees a golf course. He doesn't think, can I get back to the links? He's thinking, oh, I could do a prayer walk. He sees the mountains. He doesn't think, I'm going to go on a hike. He's thinking, wow, I could go there and just spend some time with God. This is the way he is. I don't think any of us are quite up with the son of Korah, but hopefully we will be more. Hopefully we can be challenged by this psalm to be like him. Let's read verse 3 through 11. Oops, I slightly messed up in my... That says, faith and doubts. Okay. 3 through 11. My tears have been my food. Now we're getting to the classic lament. In fact, kind of think of 3 through 11 and then 1 and 2. And just sort of the mental process he's gone through. So verse 3 is kind of almost like the beginning of the lament. Okay? My tears have been my food day and night while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Mount Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by my enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I'll yet praise him, my Savior and my God. As a deer pants for streams of water, my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? I did that on purpose because I feel like that's what's really going on in this situation. You know, Korah's son, he thought he was doing great, right? He said, you know, I used to go to the house of God and under the protection of the Mighty One. I was having a good year. I'd been having some good quiet times and, you know, I'd been fired up and shared my faith with some people, made some encouraging phone calls, you know, got to play basketball with the guys and made a basket right over the top of them.
Yeah.
You know, Bianca.
Oh,
Katie did. No, wait. Bianca did 2 weeks. Bianca did before, right?
Oh, yeah.
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 No, Bianca made a basket.
She never came.
It says it right in my notes.
Wrong name.
Yeah. All right, anyway. He went to church every week. He had quiet time most days. He shared his faith. He brought food to Bible talk. He served in the worship team. He helped out the poor there at Catholic Charities. He put the signs out on the street, you know. But he became disconnected from God. He wasn't even thirsting for God for a while. He lost that sense of closeness. You know, and then COVID hit and he lost his job. His wife died. His grandfather died. A friend betrayed him. His world, it feels like it's falling apart. He's feeling overwhelmed. He feels like he's drowning. That kind of surfacey thing he had going, it wasn't deep enough to sustain him under these circumstances. I wasn't as deep as I thought. He said, my tears have been my food all day long. People keep saying to me, and I'm starting to even believe it, where's your God? You can't trust the Bible. Are you serious? Come on, you're way too committed. That's bizarre. You're weird. He almost decides to give up. Spiritual disaster, right? No. This is called normal. This is Christianity. To some extent. You know, all of us will go through something like this. I mean, in the end, Korah's doing, look at the end. Korah's doing pretty amazing. I mean, the guy's got a relationship with God. But he had a tough time. Deep was calling to deep. His soul was downcast. Waves were sweeping over him. A lot of noise. The world is a noisy place. He was overwhelmed. Work, budget, house a mess. Homework needs to be done. Bills need to be paid. Faith, doubt. That's what he's feeling. In verse 9, he felt abandoned by God. I'm guessing all of us have felt that at one time or another. Faithful Christian included. All of us have felt that. He was despairing of life. He was depressed. I don't personally suffer from depression, but I know some people in this room do. Spiritual disaster? Terrible Christian? No! Like I said, normal. It's gonna happen. Might even happen to you this year. Maybe your studies are going to get to you. Or maybe you'll have a family tragedy, which Noe just had just a couple days ago. Marriage struggles, perhaps. Relationship breakup. But, see, again, the good news and the bad news is sort of interspersed in Psalm 42. I kind of almost prefer the classic songs of lament. So I'm going to go back to verse 5. But, what did his struggles cause him to do? Turn to God. You know, to me, there's two kinds of people. The kind of people that when things are going great, they're close to God. And when times are going bad, they just pull back from God. And then there's the kind of people, like me, who, when things are going great, I'm good to go. And then when things are going bad, I'm like, oh God, you know, help me out here. I don't know which one you are, but this psalmist, the son of Korah, his suffering, his feeling of distance, it caused him to turn to God. And as long as this is your habit, you know, it gets bad, but when it gets bad, it causes you to fall on your knees and come back to God. You're going to do okay. You're going to make it. His struggles forced him to his knees. They forced him back to his God. And he asked himself, soul, why are you so depressed? Right, and then he realized, oh, because I haven't been relying on God. Okay, I know what I'll do. I'll start relying on God. He's having a little talk with himself here. Right? Yeah. He remembers why he fell in love with God in the first place. All this applies to marriage, by the way. You could do the exact same thing with any marriage and same kind of idea. So where does he go? He goes back to God. That's what he does. It's like he's learned that's what you do. Okay. I'm feeling doubts. Okay. God help me. I'm feeling like I can't do it anymore. God, help me. He goes to God. That's what makes him, maybe like David, a man after God's own heart. What about you? Where do you go when you're feeling distant? Do you just go more distant? Where do you go when you're feeling troubled? The son of Korah, he went to God. At night, he lay on his bed, and he said a prayer. And by the way, I'm going to train you a kind of prayer. I'm not the kind of person who's up all night thinking and can't go to sleep. That happens to me like 5 or 6 times a year. To Michael, it happens like every other day. I'm sure some of us are kind of in between. But I think we can train ourselves to do a prayer. So I do this thing. It's called a breath prayer. I learned it when I was you've heard of that? Yeah, okay. I learned it when I was my master program. It's sort of like you say something while you're breathing in, and then you say something while you're breathing out. So the breath prayer, you have to say it. You can't say it out loud. I can't talk when I'm breathing in. So the one I do is something like this. I say, Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace as I'm breathing in. And then as I'm breathing out, I say, I'm going to rely on him. I just say that when I'm just feeling like, oh man, I'm going to, you know, such and such person in the church is doing so badly and people are asking, how's it going? And, you know, haven't you fixed it yet? And all this kind of stuff. All right. So I just pray. And I'll say it 10 times. I'll say it 50 times, however many times it takes. It's just an example of a spiritual discipline. So maybe it might be, the Lord is my shepherd as I'm breathing in. I shall not want as I breathe out. Or it could be maybe as I'm breathing in, God is a faithful God. I can't demonstrate the breath prayer while talking. I can't do it. Okay. I can't do it. Okay. All right. But God is a faithful God. So I'm going to put my faith in him. Something like that. Verse 11. He says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? I think the answer is, because you're a human being, son of Korah. That's why. That's why. And then he says, I need some God time. That's what I need. I just need some God time. I'm like a deer in the desert. I'm panting. I need some time with God. And, you know, I think we learned a little bit about this even in the book of Job. It's through suffering that we come to really, really know Christ. It's then that we say, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. I'm going to go to a couple other, here we go. He put his hope in God, he went and met with God, and he remembered. Psalm 46:10, just right across the page. All right, it's helpful to learn some spiritual disciplines, some spiritual habits. All right, so that when one thing happens, you just learn to do this thing. When another thing happens, you learn to do that thing. All right, and so if you're feeling this intense anxiety to the point you can't sleep, maybe learn just to do a breath prayer. I don't do it as often as I used to, but you know why? It's probably because I don't need to do it as often as I used to. Maybe because I did it. Mm-hmm. Okay, but here's some pretty good advice. Psalm 46, verse 10. Everybody here knows this verse. I'm guessing. It says, he says, be still and know that I am God. All right. And again, sometimes we just need to stop. You know, just stop and just feel God. I'm not very good at that, but you know, Ryan's with me. He and I both really stink at this, but we're working on it. We're trying. And I've learned to meditate, you know, just, you know, not like Om Mani Padme Hum or something like that or whatever. That's a Hindu meditation. Mm-hmm. More like just thinking about God. Just stop and be in God's presence. Mindfulness. I hate that word mindfulness, but it's actually a great word. That's just my bias and my stupid bias. Mindfulness, that's actually a good thing. Be still. Just, son of Korah, stop! Just stop what you're doing! Just pant. for streams of water. Be still. Stop and smell the coffee. Let's just have a good quiet time. I know it's in the middle of the day, but just do it. Because you need to. Let's make a decision today to do a much better job, me included, of just being still and being with God. And having that deer panting thing going on. Psalm 84, 10 through 12. Another one that just, another thought to take with you. Psalm 84. Again, just practicing when things get tough, when we're feeling that the reason to lament, to do what the son of Korah did, which is simply turn to God. Psalm 84, verses 10 through 12. Another thing I think of. Yes. Yeah, there is one day in your course. Yeah, that's another psalm song. Yeah, okay. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 on Instagram. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than see the latest awesome movie. For the Lord, God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Let's resolve to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. To spend time in God's presence. Let's resolve not to spend nearly so much time dwelling in the tents of the wicked. We'll see that when we do a little time in Psalm chapter 1. Let's spend more time with God and less time on video games, watching sports, and TV shows and other entertainment that don't really build us up at all. So who's your sun and your shield? Who is it? Is it your credit card company? Is it your nice car? Is it that cup of Starbucks? Can any of these bestow honor and favor? I don't think so. So to summarize for our psalm today, let's take this thought into our week. And let's remember there's times in our life we especially need these thoughts. My soul pants for you, O my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? Okay, so we have a song. Yes, we have a song.
Mm-hmm.